Christmas program and haven't picked up their parts to go by Katie's class after the Sunday school this morning. Thank you. This morning I'll speak it to the adult class. It'll be a Brother Rich Roberts.
Good morning. Well, I'll tell you once again, it's a privilege to be back in Spanish Wells. I was sorry the circumstances what I came by because of our Sister Mary Cartwright and her health problems. And, of course, we pray for her. And it's kind of hard to stand up here this morning after hearing what happened to back home, only two houses away from mine yesterday. And it's funny how, you know, you see someone all the time, and yet you never realize how quick they could be gone. And the message this morning, all the more, I feel more led to speak to it, because I want to talk tonight and Tuesday night about spiritual gifts. And all the more we as Christians need to realize we need to be using our gifts and going out and doing what we can while we have time. The Lord saw fit the three that were taken in the fire were saved, and the one that was left wasn't. But he could have been taken. And what if someone here on Spanish Wells had to go like that? Would you have said you had the opportunity to share with them? I don't want you to start taking out your Bibles. If you have a piece of pen and a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, I want you to take that out. Since this morning is Sunday school, I don't know if I'll say it's a pop quiz, but anyway, don't get nervous and don't get upset, but take out a piece of paper, either a pen or a pencil. I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and I'm not going to go over them or check them or anything. You write in the answer that you feel comfortable with and what you feel best with. There's no real right or wrong answers here. I just want you to try fill them in and just answer them to the best of your ability. If anybody doesn't have a paper or pen, I'm sure there's someone you could borrow from. Everybody's okay? All right, just write down question number one. In your own words, what do you think is a spiritual gift? In your own words, what do you think is a spiritual gift? I'll give you a few minutes on that one because that's a little bit tough to think of right on the spot. Second question, do you think that you're gifted? Do you think that you're gifted? Question three, if so, what do you think is your spiritual gift or gifts? You might have more than one. So if you think you're gifted, write down what you think your gifts are. Or your gift might be. Question four, are you using your gifts? Very important question. And the last question is, how are you using your gifts? I'll read them again for you. Question one, what is a spiritual gift in your own words? Question two, do you think you're gifted? Question three, if so, what do you think is your spiritual gift or gifts? Question four, are you using your gifts? And question five is how? All right, we'll get back to some of those questions, hopefully as we go through this. But do I have anybody who'd volunteer to like to read their answer to the first one, what they think is a spiritual gift? One or two or three volunteers? Y'all don't have to be shy now. If I run along you by the road, you'll sit and talk to me all day. Okay. Anybody else? God-given ability to serve Him in a special way. All right. The best definition I came up with from reading God's Word is ability given by the Holy Spirit to Christians for use in our service for Christ. And hopefully, if I can get to it this morning or Tuesday night, I'm going to run down all the gifts for you, and you might be able to see exactly what gift is yours. But the first thing I want to tell you this morning, if you're saved, yes, you are gifted. Everyone here in this Sunday school that is a Christian has a special gift from God, has a special ability that He's given to you that He wants you to use. And He has a specific purpose and a special plan for your life and how He wants you to use that gift. Some of you here may have more than one gift. You might have two or three or four. I don't know how many. But I can guarantee you that every one of you here this morning has one gift. You can be sure of that. You have one gift. I'm going to read for you 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 if you'd like to turn there. We're going to read verses 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 4. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of His manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it to the ability of which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your precious word, and we thank You that You have gifted each one of us. Heavenly Father, we realize more each day that we need to use the gifts that You've given to us. We need to be ready to be used by You, no matter what the circumstances are. We ask that You give us the courage to use our gifts. Heavenly Father, just bless our time here this morning. We ask in Your Son's name. Amen. First thing we learn about spiritual gifts, every one of us has one. It says right there that every man has received a gift. God's Word plainly says that to each one of us. I'm going to tell you some other quick things about the spiritual gifts, and we may spend some more time with them. But so you understand, every one of the spiritual gifts needs to be worked with unity. I have to work together with other Christians. Every time, there are three main passages of Scripture we read about the spiritual gifts. You read about them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 3. And every time, before it starts to talk about the gifts, it talks about how important it is for us to work together. Remembering that we're serving one Lord. We're all parts of one body. We have one purpose for reaching the lost. All over we're seeing churches being split, being divided left and right because people won't work together. Because they can't get along as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to stick together. We need to love each other the same way Christ loved us. That unconditional love. We need to be forgiving. And before we can use our spiritual gifts, we need to make sure that we are working together. We need to make sure that we are loving one another. To make sure if someone has wronged us that we are forgiving them. And we're going to work with them. All the spiritual gifts we need to be reminded are different. Very different. But they rely on one another. And just how every member of Christ is different. But we have to have one another. And there's no member and there's no spiritual gift what's unimportant. It doesn't matter. We don't turn and look at the person who's up on the pulpit preaching or the one who's up there singing and say, well, they're the important people. And the job I do of maybe coming in and doing some cleaning here in the chapel or maybe visiting the elderly. Well, my job's not really important. That's not true. Everyone's gift, everyone's job, every member of the body of Christ is important. Whether you're a hand, you're an eye, you're a foot, you're a nose, whatever. You are all important. There's no one that doesn't matter. The gifts were given for two purposes. We're given a spiritual gift for purpose one is to lift up the body of Christ, to lift up Christians, to help Christians, to encourage Christians. And we're also given the gifts for glorifying God, making sure that He receives all the glory and not me. We need to remember that at all times. God has given you a special ability. Don't get puffed up about it. Don't think you're someone special. Make sure He receives all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We need to be reminded that abilities and natural talents are different than spiritual gifts. You know, you may say, well, my gift is playing the piano. Well, I hate to tell you, that's an ability, a natural. It's not a spiritual gift. Don't get me wrong. Keep doing it. We need to use everything we have for Christ. But if you play the piano, well, that means you've got something else you can use for Christ. Because a spiritual gift is something that someone who's not saved cannot have. Singing. There are a lot of people who aren't saved who've got beautiful voices. And if you're singing for Christ, well, let me tell you, that's great. Use your abilities. Use your talents for Him. But there's something else in your life besides that. There's another gift inside of you. It may be bundled up tight and you don't even know about it. But you have another gift inside of you. Something else you can use for Him. Something you may have never thought about. But we need to keep in mind that the abilities and talents, they're different from a spiritual gift. A gift comes directly from God and can only be had by a Christian, by no one else. We need to be reminded how important it is for us as stewards to use our gift. We might look at the story but sometime later, but you remember the story of the talents, don't you? How the ruler gave to his servants one five talents, another one two talents, another one he only gave one, and he told them to use them. What did they do? One had five, and how many did he make off of that? Somebody. Five more, so he had a total of 10, and someone had two. The one had two, when he came back, how many total did he have? And the one who had one, what did he do with it? He buried it, and how much did he have? And when it was all over, he didn't have any. Because it was taken away from him and it was given to the one who had 10. And so if we don't use our gift, watch out, we might lose it. It might be taken away from us. We need to use it. We need to stir up that gift. God has given it to us not to keep inside of us, not to keep buried in the ground, not to keep bundled up, but to go out and to use it for Him. You may have the gift of evangelism inside of you. And to be an evangelist doesn't mean you got to get on the pulpit. You could be an evangelist just in your school, in your work, just walking down the road and meeting people in the grocery store. Got a great opportunity as an evangelist whenever we travel off the Spanish Wells, going to Florida, run into a lot of people there who don't know Jesus. And maybe you've got that gift bundled up inside of you. Well, use it. Maybe you've got a gift inside of you, the gift of encouragement. And you see someone doing something for the Lord, well, go ahead and tell them how good it is to see them actively using their gift for the Lord. Be there to lift others up. And we're going to get to the list of the gifts later, but we need to be good stewards of our gifts and not neglect them. Remember, Paul told Timothy, just don't neglect the gift that's inside of you. He says, but stir it up. Stir up your gift. The two ways our gifts need to be administered. Our gifts need to be used. The first one is orderly. I'm sure you all heard the verse, but 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's not the one that's the most important. The most important is our gifts need to be used in love. We're going to talk about that also from 1 Corinthians 13. But remember how Paul wrote, says, if you could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, you're just like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. They need to be given in love. And also in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to look at why some people think that some of the gifts have ceased. And we're going to look at some of that. But now turn to Romans 12, and we're going to start taking a look at the gifts themselves. And as we look at these gifts, I want you to be looking at your list. We're going to see if maybe some of these gifts are on your list. Maybe there are some that you have known about that you didn't write down that you could add to your list. Romans 12, we're going to read verses 3 to 8. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member's one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching, He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with all liberty. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Notice the first few verses there. It starts about unity. It reminds us to be humble, not to think more highly of ourselves than we should, and remind us that we're all members of one body, all members of the body of Christ. But now let's look at the gifts. Prophecy, the first one right off the bat. A prophet in God's word was a spokesman for God, someone who let everyone else know God's mind. A prophet usually brought new revelations from God's word. You think about people like Isaiah or Daniel, and of course the Apostle John with Revelation. He brought new things that were never recorded before, and a new revelation. Up till then, their Bible didn't have a back cover on it. It wasn't complete. Today our Bible is complete. Today there is no new revelation. God has given to us all that we need. So what is a prophet's job today? Do I have the gift of prophecy today? What is my job? Well, I believe that since God's word is complete, a prophet is someone who could still declare God's mind through the scriptures. Is able to look into the scriptures and declare what God is trying to say to each one of us. I believe a prophet is someone who can turn to those prophetic books and easily teach us from them. I believe our brother Rob Lindstedt has the gift of prophecy. Y'all know as well as I do is nobody can explain the future events in God's word like he can. And if I had to sit there and I go through it, or one of you might, we seem to get confused at times. We get lost. But he has just been given the gift to be able to share with us what's there. Who knows? You might have that gift. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever read through the prophetic books? Have you ever looked at them? Have you ever considered that you might be a have this gift of prophecy? I don't mean a prophet to be able to look into the future and tell you who's going to die and when you're going to get married and all that kind of stuff. But to be able to show from God's word, his plan, his will, what he wants to declare to each one of us. Sometime read 1 Corinthians 14. It tells us there how a prophet is someone who's always an encourager, always lifting up, never a discourager. The second gift there is ministry. Somebody want to tell me what they think a minister is? Don't be shy, just take a guess. Nothing wrong with guessing wrong. That's right, Brother Perry, it's a servant. This world today's twisted the word minister to mean someone who gets up and preaches on Sunday, but that's not what a minister is. You may never see a pulpit, but you might have the gift of ministry. Because the word ministry actually means service. Actually means a servant. The person who has this gift has a humble heart. Who wants to help others. Who wants to just give to them. Who just wants to be able to help them in any way possible. Think about Jesus Christ. That night in the upper room. The man who created the entire universe. Took the shoes off of his disciples' feet. And as a servant, he took and he wiped off all of the dust on their feet. And he cleaned all of their feet. He says, I want you to do likewise. Every one of us should be a servant in that aspect. But there's some people who have been given this gift. There are some people who have this heart in them and they just want to help others. That's what they're looking for. They're looking out for someone who has a need. Someone who needs a hand, and they're quick to be right there and help them. They're not going to look at someone's need and say, well, maybe somebody else will do that. Maybe somebody else could help them. No, not me. You might be given the gift of a servant. Times like these, when a hurricane passes through, there's always damage. And you could easily say, well, I'm going to worry about myself and my house and my boat and my yard. But a servant is the one who's not only going to worry about themselves, but they're going to worry about everyone else. He's going to want to help everyone else. Maybe there's an elderly person, lost shingles off their roof, the house is leaking. The servant's the one who's going to be there, nailing those shingles back on. Helping out. That's the servant. The next gift listed there is a teacher. You may say, well, I know I'm no teacher. I can guarantee you that. You might look and say, well, I see people like Brother Bernard Osborne and Eddie Swartz and those who come here. Well, they're teachers. They also have a lot more time in the Word than what you have, and many more years than what each one of us has. But a teacher is just having the ability to explain God's Word, no matter how little you know or how much you know. If all you know is the importance of baptism, well, you could teach somebody that importance. You could help somebody out with that. If you fully understand the Lord's Supper and that's it, well, you can explain that to someone who doesn't. Or if you know the deepest parts of God's Word, well, then you can explain that. If you fully understand salvation, that's it. You're just saved and that's it. Well, you can explain salvation to someone else. And being a teacher means just being able to explain God's Word to others, making it simple for them to understand, making it easier for them to read, just being able to show them what God is trying to say in His Word. That's all it is being a teacher. And teaching, once again, doesn't have to be done from the pulpit. Many times the majority of teaching is done sitting down with someone, one-on-one or in a small group, where there are a chance asking questions and answering questions back and forth. That's when a lot of teaching is done. The next gift there, exhortation. Exhortation is the gift of encouragement. We listed, talked about it briefly earlier. But that may be your gift, an encourager. I don't know where I would be today without the people who encourage me. I might have told you before, but there's someone in our assembly, well, several people, but almost every time when I first started taking part, when I first prayed, when I first gave out a hymn, when I first read from God's Word, the first time I got up and led the singing, there were several people who were always there saying, Rich, glad you did that. Really enjoyed it. And even if I got up there and I thought I made a complete fool of myself and messed up everything, they were there to say, well, glad you took part. Glad you were willing to be used by the Lord. And if they wouldn't have done that, I'd have never went further. And maybe you'll never get on a pulpit, and you'll never be a teacher, but God's called you to be an encourager. God's called you to go to that someone and say, you know, we're glad to see what you're doing, and glad you're being used by the Lord. Keep it up. You know, we're quick to jump on people's back when they do something wrong. When they make a mistake, we're quick to jump down their throat. We're quick to say to others, you see what so-and-so's doing? Man, I can't believe that. We should be doing that when we see somebody do something right. We should go to them, let them know how good it is to see them doing something right. Tell others about the good work that they're doing. Whether it's big or whether it's small, just encouraging them, just lifting them up. Don't bring them down. Don't take their support out from under them, but build the support stronger and stronger. That's the only way anyone can ever go on for the Lord. That's the only way anyone can ever be used by the Lord, is if they have encouragement. I'm sure you can take people like Billy Graham and many others who had someone there encouraging them when they first got started. And who knows where their life would have went if someone hadn't encouraged them. So I want you to be an encourager if you have that gift. Here's another gift. Giving. Sometimes we say, let's just skip by that gift. But it's important that we talk about that gift. All of us as Christians have to give. We need to give. It's our duty to give. God says that 10% of what we have belongs to Him. Not you give it to the Lord. That belongs to Him. If we don't give it to Him, we're stealing from Him. If you only get $10 this week, well, a dollar of that belongs to the Lord. And what goes past that is our offering to Him. And if we want to be blessed, well, then we have to give. If we want God to give to us, we need to be willing to give to His work. Everyone as Christians should be giving, but there are some of you that might have been given with a special gift of giving. You are out looking for people who have needs, and you try to meet every one of those needs. If you have $5 in your pocket, well, you're looking for someone who needs two or three. If you have $1 million in your bank account, well, then you're looking for someone who needs 100,000 or 200,000. But you realize what you have isn't yours. It's God loaning it to you, and you want to help others with it. You know, it's no good if we take our money and we hoard it up and we put it in the bank. When we die, it's just going to sit right there. We can't take it with us. We can't do anything with it when we're gone. And most of the time, once we're gone, it's just going to be fought over and fussed over who's going to get it. But we could take that, and we could give it to someone who's in need. We could give it to someone who really could use it. And then we could see a double blessing coming back to us, because we're willing to give. I know your church here gives to many missionaries around the world. And that's one way that this church is going to continually be blessed. Because they're given out. And it all is through your gifts that they're given out and supporting them who have gone far away from their homes, have gone, some of them, into dangerous areas where their life is at stake, have gone where other people have never heard the gospel, and where a lot of them don't know where, they're not sure where their meals are coming from. A lot of them are not sure where they're going to live. But you've given to them, and the Lord will bless you for that. You might have the gift of giving. Sometimes people call this the gift of money. And sometimes if you've got maybe that's why the Lord has given you the amount of money that you have. The other gift we see there is two more, is ruling. You might be in a position to be a ruler, to be a leader, to organize something, to be in charge of something. Maybe something big, like this whole assembly here. Maybe something small, like just being one of the leaders of youth group, or being a Sunday school teacher someday. Maybe something even smaller than that. But maybe you've got the gift of a leader. One who can take charge. One who people can trust. One who others will listen to. You need to use that gift for the Lord. The last one in this list is showing mercy. Showing mercy. That means willing to help others no matter the type of person they are. No matter how bad of a person they may be, no matter how they may have wronged you, that means being willing to forgive above and beyond what you're called. That means being willing to help them no matter how they've hurt you. You might have that gift. Let me ask you, looking at these gifts so far, how many of them do you have to be a preacher to use? How many of them? Some people's whispering it. None. So far, you don't have to be a preacher to use any of these gifts. And any one of you here could have one of these gifts right now. Or two of these gifts, or three of these gifts, or you may have every one of these gifts that are listed here right now. Do you know that you have these gifts? Are you using these gifts? Or are they being bundled up inside of you? Are they being neglected? You may ask the question, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is? How do I find out what God has blessed me with? Well, when I'm home, I coach PE and softball and football and different things with school with the children. And you have to take the small children, and how do you start out as to where they should play on the field? Well, first of all, you try them in just about every position. And you let them have a go at shortstop, and you let them have a go at first base, and let them try the outfield. Give them a try pitching until you see what they best fit in. Give it a try. Have you ever tried encouraging someone else? Give it a try. Have you ever tried giving more than you should, than you thought you should? Have you ever tried teaching? Go ahead and give it a try. And don't get upset because the first time you fail. Everyone, if you know, when you got on your bicycle for the first time, you couldn't ride it. You probably fell down many times before you could finally get and go. And don't give up the first time. Keep trying. But then also, what do you do to find out a gift? Well, same thing, I'll use baseball again. Once you've got an idea where you think they should go, well, then they have to practice and practice and practice and practice. Are you practicing what you think your gift is? Are you really going and trying over and over and over and over again? Keeping trying. Keeping going. Keep encouraging. You've got to keep trying what you think you've found where that gift is. And then, of course, in baseball, if you're still not sure, you can always go and ask the coach. And the coach could give you his advice where you think you should go. Well, when it comes to find out what your gift is, if you've tried and you've read and you've prayed and you've practiced and you're not sure, go ask a coach. There are a lot of elderly brothers and sisters who have been around for many years. They've seen many gifts come and go. That's why you have leaders here in this assembly. That's why you have other people that you can turn to. If you're not sure where your gift is, go and ask them. They might be able to tell you. They might be able to tell you something they see inside of you that you never thought about, that you never imagined. They may see inside of you that you're going to be a great teacher one day, and you'd have never guessed it. And you'd have said, me? I don't think so. But they see it, and you give it a try. And so we see these gifts. And there are two other lists we're going to look at on Tuesday night. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we're also going to look at a list from Ephesians chapter 3. And maybe you're looking and saying, well, I don't have any of these gifts you've listed here so far. That's all right, there's still plenty more. And there might be some more that you'll find your name attached to. There might be one you say, yeah, that's me. That's my gift. That's what I should be doing. But whatever it is, make sure you use it. Never neglect it. Continually be in prayer, asking the Lord, how can I be used by you? What plan do you have for me? If you're 15 years old or 50 years old, you still may be searching for the plan God has in your life. You still may be looking. You still may not be sure. He's given you the gift. Not only did He save us, not only did He give us His Holy Spirit to guide us, not only did He give us a job to do, but He says, I'll give you the ability to do that job if you'll just rely on me. If you'll just ask me. How much are you relying on Him today? How much are you asking Him to control your life today? Are you trying to do it all on your own? Every one of us needs to live by Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I don't live by the faith of Rich Roberts. I don't live by the faith of someone else. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And if you're finding it hard to live the Christian life, it is hard. And we can't live it. We have to let Christ live it through us. And we have to allow Him to work through us and commit our heart and life to Him so that He can use us. So I encourage you, be back Tuesday night. We'll look at the other gifts. And we'll see how each one of us can be used by Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank You that You loved us, that You cared for us, that You sent Your Son to die for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we don't have to rely on our own abilities in this life. We don't have to rely on our own talents. We don't have to rely on our own strength, but we can rely on You. For we realize that You have given us the gift to serve whatever purpose You have mapped out for us in this life. Thank You that every one of us has a gift. We thank You that every one of us has a specific plan in this life to follow. We thank You that You have given a purpose to each one of us. That You have something You want each one of us to do for You. Father, help us to find that out more each day and to just follow You. We thank You for each one who's out here to Sunday school this morning, who made the effort to be here. We just ask that this morning they have been blessed by everything that's been said and sung and done, and that the remainder of today will just bring honor and glory to Your name into the name of your precious Son. So we thank you for being able to gather here once again. We ask that you bless all that we say and do now, for we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.